Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here, and we are back with another microsode for you. Long overdue, but we are so excited to chat about this topic. Joining me, we have got BJ.
Hello.
Brian.
Howdy.
And Eric.
Hello.
Did it in alphabetical order this time. Look at that. Come on, alphabetized. I mean, that's just how you guys are across my screen, but it works. Well, we have convened to discuss a little show that we all watched called She-Hulk Attorney at Law. And I always want to sing that in the Harvey Birdman tone whenever I say it. But I will not do that right this moment. She-Hulk Attorney at Law is an American television miniseries created by Jessica Gao for the streaming service Disney Plus, based on the Marvel Comics featuring the character She-Hulk. It is the 8th television series of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Damn, they put out a lot of TV. Produced by Marvel Studios, sharing continuity with the films of the franchise. It follows Jennifer Walters, a lawyer specializing in cases involving superhumans, who also becomes the green superhero She-Hulk. Gao serves as head writer with Kat Coiro, and I hope I'm saying that right. If I'm not, I apologize. Leading the directing team, Tatiana Maslany stars as Jennifer Walters / She-Hulk, alongside Jamila Jamil, Ginger Gonzaga, Mark Ruffalo, Josh Segata, Mark Lynn Baker, Tess Malice Kincaid, Tim Roth, Megan Thee Stallion, Benedict Wong, Renee Ellis Goldsberry, John Bass, Reese Coiro, Griffin Matthews, Patty Harrison, Steve Coulter, Charlie Cox, Brandon Stanley, and Drew Matthews. Hopefully I did not miss any extras that were not listed. She-Hulk was announced in August of 2019. It was Gao hired in November. Filming began in mid-April 2021, and the subtitle was added to the series in May 2022. She-Hulk Attorney at Law premiered on August 18th of 2022 and ran for 9 episodes until October 13th. And it was the last TV series that is part of Phase 4 in the MCU. And yeah, let's talk about She-Hulk Attorney at Law. Let's start with the things that we enjoyed about the series. Eric, why don't you kick us off with some highlights from She-Hulk?
This one was just fun. I think across the board, yes, there was Jen having to deal with some, I mean, they weren't very high stakes, as high stakes, I think. They weren't world-ending traumas the way some other superheroes have had to deal. She wasn't dealing with any level, Wanda-level despair and depression and loss or anything like that. So we got to have more fun with her. She definitely did have dark moments, though. Revenge porn is never a good thing. And yeah, but acting wise, Tatiana Maslany, she's just freaking amazing. And I think I think everybody knew because of Orphan Black that she would be able to play two different sides of the same character very well. Not that She-Hulk's personality really changes too much, but just the way she can carry herself, and seeing later on in the season her having to deal with the two different lives and how she's treated one way or the other, depending on what form she's in, and having to come to terms with that was really good to see. I thought that the people around her, her paralegal, Nikki, was fantastic. I thought Tim Roth was fantastic. I'm going to use fantastic a lot. Well, I mean, at one point, she's in the Fantastic Four, right? She's She-Hulk. She's in the Fantastic
Four. Yeah, she is.
Yeah. You are correct.
You are correct, sir.
But I loved that this series let itself just be absurd, like with cameos from Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh, my God.
And just all of the Madison. I mean, the Madison.
Can somebody do her spelling thing? Because
with two N's and one Y,
but it's not what you think.
Oh, that's just such catnip. I love it.
At first, it was scary, and then it was fun. Then it's scary again, and then spooky, but in a fun way.
Come on, Wongers.
Wongers.
So good.
I don't know. I'll let everybody else speak about their good stuff.
Brian, what were some highlights for you?
I think the best part of this show is how it took the piss out of online commenters, because by anticipating the sort of low-hanging fruit that these, you know, keyboard warrior incel whatever's like would take, like by anticipating that and writing that in and then diffusing it fairly well, I think the last episode does it in an interesting way, a novel way for sure, though very much consistent with the comics and the fact that before there was Deadpool breaking the fourth wall, there was She-Hulk breaking the fourth wall and the glass ceiling and all of it. But Jessica Gao, like, I had to do some research on her. I had heard her name prior to the She-Hulk stuff, and I didn't know what from. And it's because she used to do a podcast with Dan Harmon that's called Whiting Wongs, where they discuss race and privilege in Hollywood. And I had heard of the podcast. I never listened to it, but I absolutely need to now.
Oh, you do.
But also, like, she has written some amazing television that you guys are familiar with. She did work on Silicon Valley, Robot Chicken. The Rick and Morty is probably the one that you're most familiar with. And she wrote the Pickle Rick episode.
Yep.
So, like, she's got such a great pedigree, and she's so funny, but she's also so smart, and it just bleeds through in this project. It transformed what could have been a very safe and sort of whatever type legal comedy and really made it so meta, self-aware. I mean, whatever. And the fact that they really did let her do that last episode with all of the things. I mean,
that got a little absurd, but
in it did. And there's certainly a part of me that
100% the character. It's 100%
no, it is
the comic. I love it.
And that's the thing. Like it fits well with that, but also on its own, people could probably, and again, I'm kind of split down the middle on just how far it went, but also, like, I mean, let's just say, we're spoiling it because it's been out for a while. Y'all have probably seen it. Like, let's just lay it out there. Like, by completely subverting the expectation of this epic confrontation with this fourth wall destroying meta, she basically looks at the camera, crawls out of the Disney Plus GUI, which will, by the way, not date this. It'll not hold up well, but that's fine. The GUI's already different, right? But like, you know, going into the writer's room, which another show.
Oh, could you imagine if they changed? Could you imagine if they completely changed the user interface like the day after that episode came out?
Oh, right. Well, I mean,
Yep, this lasted a whole 12 hours before we changed it.
But like, then going to confront the writers and then going to specifically confront the Kevin Feige equivalent, which is hilarious in its own way, of this robot God. Program.
I wish it was a little more GLaDOS, though.
Oh, my God. It could have gone full GLaDOS.
She had to go through like a series of like laser beams or like something a little more.
But I mean, like, and then basically that whole journey is the climax. And then what we thought was the climax, whereas this confrontation with these trolls and like, you know, they've taken her super soldier, not super soldier, but her blood, and they're giving it to this one guy who's from, I forgot the actor's name, but he's great in Miracle Workers. He's one of the
regular stable.
He's always the awkward, weird guy. But like
John Bass.
Is that his name? John Bass?
John Bass, Todd Phelps, the Hulk King.
Yeah, the Hulk King. Yeah. But by completely just taking that story and just going, yeah, we're not doing this. And just completely, like, I mean, it's frustrating. And as someone who, like, you know, I like, you know, straightforward narrative, I like epic comic book action, blah, 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 all of that. But to completely just take that out, and it's such a bold choice. I have to, even if it's not 1,000% what I love, it works so well for this show and this character.
But I love how the bold choice was like normal consequences. Like the bold choice was her being like, you're all going to jail. Have a good one. I will prosecute you later. Like that, like the idea that the way you circumvent the giant superhero like fight is to just be like, no, I'm gonna just call the cops. Have a good one.
Well, there's even a meta commentary on the budget of a TV show that they make reference to, and like, oh, we can't afford any more of these shots. Okay. You know, like,
we can't do the transformation shot. We're just gonna pan over here and then pan back, and you're gonna be.
I also have one more thing.
Not even that. Hold on, but just in reference to that, when she finally gets to Kevin, she's like, I can't talk to you like this. We don't have the budget for it. All right, I'll transform back. We need you to do that off screen. Like, the fact that, like, 100% just got called out that way. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, but it's so, again, this is why this writing is just so smart, and I love this type of meta, you know, aware stuff. But I have to also give this one thing, and I'll stop, you know, glomming onto this. The homage to the original My Era Hulk TV series that they did, like, just so perfect, so pitch perfect. You know, I hope people watch it and then go, you know, I should. And then, oh my God, it's exactly like, you got to go check out the original. But like, I just so great, so good. Overall, love the show for those kind of moments, and the cast is great so much all across the board.
And so I just love the kind of piggyback off what you were talking about with like the Kevin part, which is going to find Kevin, and then she gets to Disney Studios and they have her sign the NDA and then go to kill her. And she's like, why did you have me sign the NDA if you were just going to kill me? Everyone has to sign the NDA. It's such a ridiculous commentary. And then the fact that Kevin is the knowledge enhanced visual interconnectivity nexus, like that through all of this, and then wearing the Kevin Feige hat, like that was awesome. I kind of want to go next because I want to take something that I'm pretty sure BJ will end up taking.
Actually, that's fine, because there's a little bit of information I have to give everybody listening, so.
Okay. One of my favorite fucking scenes in this entire show was the walk of shame that Daredevil did leaving Jennifer's apartment. Fucking boots over his shoulder, walking barefoot,
my God,
mask, outfit, everything, and just whistling and having Nikki walk past him.
Yes, absolutely.
I just saw a guy in a devil. Did you? And we're okay with that?
It was so good. The Matt Murdock, Jennifer Walters chemistry.
Yes. Yes.
In this show was off the fucking charts, and I loved it. The entire way that they one, made you wait for it. Because it was like, even at the mid-season, like, teaser trailer, they still waited like another two episodes before Daredevil was introduced, because it's not Daredevil show, and like all the fanboys getting all mad online about, oh, you're teasing us with this. Go fuck yourself. That's not the Matt Murdock show. We got 18 episodes of that coming out with Born Again when that comes out.
Oh no. And then the comment she made the episode after they introduced the Drip Broker, and they show the mask, and she's just like, and if you think that this episode is coming at an inopportune time, well, you're right, because weddings never happen at an opportune time. And then, yeah. And I'm just like, oh my God, they just said fuck y'all to y'all wanting to see more of Daredevil the next episode. And I was like, whoever was a part of like this show just sat on Twitter and just waited for that trailer to drop and was like, and now we have it. Like, I'm just gonna copy and paste all this shit. And it writes itself. It was perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Including him in this and having them connect that way was so good. And I want more of it. And I don't know where. I don't know what it would be a part of, because I don't know if Born Again would be, like, you know, conducive to that. But whatever it is, like, I love that so much. Even the family picnic barbecue backyard dinner at the end of the series, like with Marklin Baker, fucking cousin Larry is her dad. I swear to
I
God,
love I her dad.
Yeah, Marklin Baker is fantastic.
Him spraying the reporters, get off my lawn.
So good, so fucking good. Like, and then them just, you know, like needling him about what he does, and oh, a lawyer, oh, not, you know, nonprofit work. It's like, oh, but, you know, like, just it was so typical Americana, but it was done in such a poking fun and jestful way that, like, it was so good. And I'll throw it over to BJ here in a second, but Pug. Like, we've talked about a lot of the extra, you know, like the side characters, and Nikki was amazing. But Pug was adorable.
Oh.
And Pug was like the epitome of the good guy. The guy that is not, he's not there doing it for attention. He's not helping because he's trying to get into Nikki's pants. Also, Nikki, possible bisexual icon? Pansexual, lesbian, yeah. Wherever she falls on the spectrum, icon, just icon in general. Which she facilitates the multiple wife settlements, like Nikki, Pug, Jen, Matt. Like, this cast was just sheer perfection. Even Emil Blonsky, like, being a part of it, like, the role he played in it, I was upset with Emil when he was hosting the Intelligentsia conference at his compound. Like, I was upset with him. I was like, no, Emil, this is not how this is supposed to go. Like, it just all worked really fucking well. And yeah, I love this show. BJ, what you got for us on the positives?
So about, God, I can't even remember about a year ago at this point, I got to do a early screening of the first five episodes of She-Hulk. And when I tell you, they change so much in the best ways possible. The relationships, Jen's fourth wall breaking. Honestly, the fourth wall breaking was great for me on multiple levels. I love the fact that we finally got something lighthearted and just fun. But I have to say that while you guys are mentioning some of the great side characters, Mallory, who represented Jen, she works for the same oh my God, I want to say law company. That's not
yeah, it's law firm.
The law firm. Yeah.
Law firm.
GLKNH, yes.
Yeah. Renee Elise Goldsberry.
Mallory from being Hamilton kind of fame. Badass
from One
lawyer.
Life to Live fame, thank you. Okay. and Rent, the live production the final production, she was the last Mimi in Rent and is part of the cast that is recorded for DVD. I've been a Renee Ellis Goldsberry fan for a while. She was she was back on my stories when One Life to Live was on, and then seeing her in Rent. I think I saw her in Rent, and then she was part of the final cast before the show closed. So yes,
she was also in Hamilton.
That's where Eric called her out from. Yeah. I mean, come on, my favorite song from Hamilton is sung by her, so I can't be mad. But I just got to show her love for. She's been around for a while, so we love us some Renee Ellis Goldsberry.
And also the openings to the episodes, especially when they did actually it was that specific episode where they introduced Mallory, where it's She-Hulk by Titania, opening advertisement. That was absolutely fantastic. I love so with Renee in the original cut of the show, she was supposed to have been in charge of the division that Jen was put in charge of. However, she was ousted because Jen has powers and she was a better face for the division, and they were going to have that stereotypical like lawyer, like rivalry sort of thing, like her always trying to one up Jen to kind of take her job. And I'm glad they did not do any of that. Same with Pug. Originally, Pug was supposed to be kind of like fetishizing her, and they didn't do any of that. And all the stuff that they had set up for the characters in the original cut of the show, none of it stayed. All of it was gone. And that made me so happy, because honestly, had they kept the original cut, it would have been all the things she made fun of in the entire show. Like, it literally would have been like the weird giant epic battle with the weird like incel Hulk guy. But it's, I love everything they did with this. I actually wanted more legal cases. I wanted more cases. I mean, just the idea of all the stuff they could do in the Marvel Universe. And then, of course, Megan Thee Stallion. You have to love Megan Thee Stallion. but her
you
taking
the stand, thought yes. You were dating the Megan Thee Stallion?
I thought you drove a Passat? Yeah, it's absolutely, I absolutely loved it. I can't wait for them to do, I believe they're going to do a season two after whatever like movie project she's in. I do love the fact that she's just like, man, when are we getting the mutants?
Oh my God, Nikki with the fucking, the makeup brushes in the Wolverine claws.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just so, it was so fun. And the show, like I said, the way they took on the internet trolls just by going ahead and being like, okay, yeah, do your little whiny thing. We put it in the show. And it just took the piss out of their sails. It was just, oh my God. Perfect. Absolutely. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. It's, yeah, no, just it was such a good show, and touched on so many specific points, especially about women, from women that then were then just run wild with the men that they were, you know, really kind of pointing out throughout the series, but talking about how they have to handle themselves and how they have to act a certain way and control their temper and their aggression because of how a woman would be perceived if she were to be angry all the time or were to...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
To speak out against these things. So it's amazing. It's amazing to see a product like this coming from a female creative, writer, director, having all of these things. Like, these are the more things that we need and definitely need to really kind of just put a sock in the keyboard warriors' mouths as we go through. So let's do a quick switch over to things that maybe could have improved the show. I know that, you know, I have one major thing for me, but Brian, what were maybe some could have been betters for you for She-Hulk Attorney at Law?
Oh my God, right? I had to. Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the thing. I wish they had done a little more wacky thing of the week, but like that would have been very Birdman-esque. So
I wanted to be Marvel Birdman.
I know. I did too. But like I don't know. Like those episodes were my least favorite. I think ultimately, well, they weren't my least favorite. They were all good. Anyway, Jameela was robbed. And I wonder, BJ, if this was something that you saw differences in as well, because her through line was not a line. It was kind of dashes. And I don't have any affiliation with Titania, like whatever. I don't know that character very well at all, whatever. But as a amazing, I think she's queer. As an icon in certain ways, like just love her to death. Her journey was like just cut short. It had moments, of course, but like you thought it was going to be this thing they introduced in that first episode, and then you're like, wait, that's it, and it wasn't. But also, it wasn't a lot more than that. So I don't know. Like to me, that was the biggest like sin of the show, is just not utilizing her in a better way that just made more sense. You know, that's it.
Yeah. I honestly, and I'll piggyback off of that part. Like really what my biggest gripe with the show was the underutilization of some of the characters who were great when we saw them, but we did not get a lot of them. And that was Titania, played by Jameela Jamil, and Mallory, played by Renee Ellis Goldsberry. And that's why I didn't bring her up, BJ, in when I was talking about characters that I enjoyed, was because I enjoyed her, but I didn't want to lead into, I wanted her to be there more. You know, I get where you're coming from and not wanting the rivalness of it. I think that plays more to the comic book origins of Mallory. And again, some of these characters are kind of amalgamations. So I don't know if there's a Mallory per se, but the character that Mallory or partially is based on in the comics was that rival of Jen's at the law firm. So if that would have led to more interactions, I think I would have loved it because we would have gotten more Mallory on the show. But to your point, BJ, I love that that wasn't what the focus was. And I kind of love the fact that both Nikki and Jen almost sought her approval. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, we're friends. Like, oh, you know, like, and had that kind of, there was this unspoken rivalry or bitterness, and then the kind of fun that they had with, like, oh, well, like, we can go get a drink, or let's, you know, like, let's be friends. I just wish that there was more of them in the show. And again, it's tough because you have 9 episodes, you're trying to tell all these different stories, but we were really sold a bill of goods that Titania was going to be a big plot point in the show. And she had, like, 3 different, like, points. It was like, it was the first episode where she just busts through the wall. It was the She-Hulk by Titania and the wedding fight. And, like, those were, like, the big moments. And for as much as Titania, and I mean, Titania has her own Twitter account and, like, has all these social media posts and, like, all of this stuff, it just felt like, I mean, she's a social media influencer, so I guess it should be. That's how it should be. But
oh yeah, she had a TikTok page.
I mean, like, I love it. I know there's been a lot of online discourse about Jameela Jamil in certain circles. I enjoy her. I think she's a fantastic part of our community, and I want more of her involved in it. And I think that was my biggest complaint, was there were so many amazing characters that we did not get to spend enough time with. And if they were to do another, I haven't heard anything about a season 2 or any talk about it. I know that they kind of keep pushing these as these mini series and these, like, kind of one-off seasons, with Loki getting a second one, more than likely Moon Knight getting a second one. I want to see more, and I would like to see a little bit more wacky, monster of the week, but case of the week type things, and a la, you know, Birdman. It would definitely be a different show, in my opinion, at that point. Eric, what say you?
Well, I understand a lot of the kind of cases she's doing don't necessarily end up in full litigation in a courtroom. I do wish there was more actually in the courtroom. Versus all of the outside escapades. I understand that that's kind of where more of the fun happens, but I like the law with the order, you know. I like exactly. I don't have too much bad to say about it. I think I understand why at the end they brought Bruce back, because you want the kind of bookends on Bruce to be there, to kind of come back. You want him away while she's figuring herself out. You don't want him to be as a constant crutch throughout the show, but you want him to come back and be able to see her as a fully realized person. I just didn't need them to introduce his son.
Scar, son of Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that that's kind of where they're headed for doing World War Hulk, and or whatever the one that happened on Earth was. Was that World War Hulk?
That was World War Hulk.
Yeah, Planet Hulk and then World War Hulk, yeah.
Yeah. So I understand that they're setting that up, but I don't know. It just felt like a weird ending right
there. It was the most, like, ham fist, like, of all of the successes of this show, this is where, you know, Feige or whoever was like, so we need this in here. You know, you should put it somewhere it makes sense, but, you know, yeah, we gotta introduce Scar. And so Jessica's probably like, oh, you're gonna do that to me, huh? You're gonna make me have to all right, well, fuck it. We're gonna put it at the end as, like, a non sequitur that just nothing. Like it could have been, it wasn't a delete, it wasn't a in credits thing, right? It was it a
mid-credit? No, it actually happened at the end.
No, it just happened like at the end of the
episode. It wasn't me, really in credit, it was just the end of
that. And it's almost like they went, no, you know what, we could and we probably should put it at the end, but no, we're gonna put it at the end of the full episode just to fuck, like, just to be like that, like, almost so bad that it's, like, intentional, because it just seemed like, Eric, like you said, just like, no, what is, why, what are you doing? Other than the Bruce Banner, like you said, the bookend, like, no, this is, yeah. So I think Jameela's slights were more egregious to me, but that was right up there with, like, oh, come on, what is this? What is this? I don't care. And he looked dumb. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry.
What was egregious was that design. Yeah, oh. They found adolescent like going through puberty scar, yeah. And they were like, "This is what we've got for you."
The budget, they ran out of the budget. They should have made a joke about that, right? Like that's the kind of y'all, show I wanted.
It might have been. Y'all complained about She-Hulk CGI for so long. Yeah. Look at this. That's what we can do.
We're just gonna paint this poor awkward thick boy green.
I also wish Kevin Feige had actually stepped up and done his own voice for Kevin, but I understand that might have been a little too much for him. A little too.
Can't be the puppet master if you're in there with the puppets. You know, you gotta
exactly.
Exactly.
But yeah, I don't really have too much else bad to say about it. Like, on one hand, I would have liked to see more episodes, but on the other, I think it was kind of the right length to tell that kind of story, and that way they didn't have to put in too much filler at all. So
true. BJ, any wish it would have been improved moments for you?
So honestly, I mean, a lot of my gripes are the same thing. I just wanted more. I mean, and that's always my favorite complaint to have about anything. Wanting more is a fantastic complaint to have. Although my only real issue actually came in the form of the when they did the big reveal of Intelligentsia and what they had planned for Jin. And then the whole reveal that they had, they did more than just take her blood. They recorded a sex tape unbeknownst to her. And I don't know what it was about that specific thing. I think maybe because a lot of things they did in the show were very fresh, and the sex tape storyline has been done to death to the point to where it's like, I mean, it's definitely the perfect trigger. If you want an easy trigger for her to trigger her rage and actually have her Hulk out in a negative way in front of other people, like, I see why they picked that. That just seemed easy. When there was a lot, as far as the narrative goes, Jin is very protective. She cares about her family. She's got friends. A Nikki, like, in my heart of hearts, I was like, if something happens to Nikki, I will never forgive anyone. And, like, you know, having them possibly recording Nikki instead of her could set her off. And that made a bit more sense to me than just them recording or having sex. But again, that's a weird, gross, you know, a gross straight dude thing to do if you really want to get under somebody's skin. So I don't know. It was the one thing that I was like, this is the least inspired thing you guys did, and y'all have been knocking it out of the fucking park the entire show. So I don't know. Like I said, that was just one of those things where I was like, maybe I'm just a weird dude and just tired of seeing that, or maybe I watched too many dramas involving women having sex tapes revealed. That could be it as well. But I did get the sense from a lot of my girlfriends, they were all very much like, they were like, that's the only thing that really fell flat for them, was they were just like, everything was so good. Everything was so original and fun and just tongue in cheek. And you just kind of had a tired plot point that's used all the time. So other than that, 10 out of 10, like, absolutely loved everything they did. And like you said, I personally would have liked more episodes. I think this was currently, other than Daredevil, this is the longest running Marvel series. I think it's what, 11 episodes?
No, it's nine. How many episodes was it?
Nine episodes.
Tied with WandaVision, I believe, had nine as well.
Yeah. So it's I think those two are the longest running series. I would have loved to have this been at 12, like an even 12. I mean, honestly, I would have loved this to be an even 15, like 15, but I think I would have been happy with 12, but like I said, my only complaint is just like that one story blip. Other than that, yeah, just give me more. I want more.
And the only thing I will say about, like, I get what you're saying. I get where your friends are coming from. I think it was almost kind of meant to be that trivial and that flat, because these guys are so are so simple-minded in how they look at everything that that is the only thing they could think to do was to take, you know, the nude pictures of her at, you know, afterwards and like all like it's just so it's kind of meant to be like this is how basic men are or these type of men are. Yeah. So I definitely I see it from both sides, I think. But yeah, it definitely was something that you know, and I'll say this. I get why and why they did what they did and kind of subverting the expectation of how the show was going to end. But it almost kind of felt like it felt like I was cheated out of other story time to have the ending just be this, let's break the fourth wall, let's go do this. So, like, I like the whole, like, the Kevin bot and all of that. But to then just come back and be like, all right, well, like, okay, please go take these, you know. Not even, like, it didn't even seem like it was, who were the ones that were trying to kill,
Kamala? Oh, damage control?
Yeah. Or, like it just seemed like, you have people that have Hulk powers possibly, or like Titania even, like, let's get something that's maybe going to be a little bit more hardcore to get them out of here. But overall, and the only other thing I will talk about from a kind of upset point, and this is tangential to the show, for those who've listened to the show for a while and those of you here recording with me now know that I love Ryan George and the Pitch Meeting series that he does. I was actually kind of upset with, because from what I've seen, Ryan is either usually pretty neutral or a bit left leaning in kind of the slant that he takes with his sketches. The fact that he actually kind of went down the same rabbit hole as a lot of the online keyboard warrior men with the scene about Jen talking about how women have to control their anger, and the fact that he went down the same rabbit hole of like, oh, well, she's telling this to her cousin who lost his best friend and was sent into space, and like listed all of like the things that Hulk went through to kind of downplay that piece of it, because she wasn't equating, hey, my life is worse than yours or my traumas are worse than yours. It was trying to point out to somebody in her life that cares about her, that she cares about, that you're taking that women have all of these smaller aggressions that are put on them, these other responsibilities and ways that they have to act and behave and control themselves. Otherwise they'll be deemed as, a lot to handle, bossy, a bitch, you know, and all of this. It's not, nobody's sitting here playing the game of, okay, well, whose anger is harder to control, or whose is worse, or whose trauma is worse. And that is how so many thin-skinned man babies on the internet took that scene and lost the complete meaning of it. So to kind of have that really put into a pitch meeting for this show, it made me a little sad that's how we approached it. But overall, like I in general, it still was a good pitch meeting, but it was sad to see that be kind of the piece that was honed in on for that part of it, like where it could have been flipped on its head and it could have been done in a better way to kind of speak out against that. But I know that's not She-Hulk directly, but that was something that I wanted to bring up. But overall, I think it was great. I don't know where She-Hulk will end up next. She's one of those characters where we don't really have a firm grasp on where we would see her again. Tatiana Maslany has said that she doesn't really know where she'll be appearing next. That was the last that I had read.
Because Kevin said not in the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, true. but I mean, like, I don't know where she will be. But I'm excited for Tatiana Maslany to be back. I really hope that when, and I guess it's also a budgetary thing, but I know Jen in the comics is more comfortable as She-Hulk than she is as Jen. And this series didn't really portray that. And I guess, you know, we're really early into her life as both Jen Walters and She-Hulk. So I would love to see one where she has a little bit more of that confidence in being the big green lawyer. So maybe they'll have a little more budget next time and we'll be able to see that more often. But overall, I think it was a great show. I think we can all agree that it was a great, fantastic, fun adventure. So with that being said, dear listeners, we want to hear from you. Tell us what you thought about She-Hulk Attorney at Law. Tell us where you think she may pop up next, whether she may have a cameo in Daredevil Born Again. I wouldn't be mad about it, but we'll have to see. But we'll be back with more podcast goodness for your ears in another week. So thank you all so much for joining me to talk about this, and we'll see you next time. Bye, bitch.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.